Welcome to Talking for the Health of It with Permanente Medicine. I'm James Boyle, Health Engagement Trainer.
And I'm Amy Kaiser, Communication Coordinator. We both work on the Health Engagement Team here at the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group, where we serve members of Kaiser Permanente in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Today, we're talking with Permanente Medicine physician Dr. Ross Goodwin about fostering and supporting mental health in children.
Welcome, Dr. Goodwin. Thank you for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks for having me. My name is Ross Goodwin. I'm a double board certified adult and child psychiatrist with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group, and I see pediatric members at the Burke Kaiser Permanente Medical Center.
Today we're here to talk about mental health in children, and emotional health starts to develop as early as infancy. So we want to discuss how parents can help their children develop and understand their emotional well-being in a healthy way. So, Dr. Goodwin, how would you approach defining mental health with children as a parent, where your children are included in the conversation?
Well, you're absolutely right that from the earliest days of having a child, a parent has the opportunity to build those emotional connections with their child and to cultivate mental health and emotional health in their child. And so, thinking about infants and cuddling together and gazing and eye contact and being silly and babbling and those sorts of things, those are the first ways of building that emotional attunement and connection with the child and setting that foundation for the rest of your child's life. And so we can think about, continuing to foster that emotional mental health in our children going forward, as they grow, as a continuum from that basis, from that earliest, those earliest days of infancy and beyond.
Something that I'm interested in hearing more about is how you would approach talking about mental health versus mental illness. I think we are in an age where people use those two terms interchangeably, but I'd like your perspective on how they might be different and how you could approach talking about health versus illness.
I notice a lot that the term mental health is used in many different ways. And it's very important to distinguish that. And sometimes people use the term mental health when they're really focused on mental illness. So yes, I think it's important that we talk about mental health in terms of a positive way of supporting and growing and caring for mental health, and then being attuned to when people are really in need of help.
I'm wondering, what do you want more parents to know when it comes to mental health and children?
Parents are so important and powerful, and it's a very, very tough job, but you have such an important role to play in terms of what you can do every day to support your child. And even things that may seem simple or every day or run-of-the-mill can have profound, profound impacts. And so sometimes less is more in terms of making sure that every day we slow down, we take time to listen, and we create space. We ensure that there is time, but just having that routine in our day where there's time to talk, to listen, where distractions are minimized. And I think the frequency is the most important thing in terms of, it doesn't have to take long, but making sure there's always that space available for listening. One simple way that we can start learning more about emotions and feelings is, maybe to ask our child, well, how did you feel when that happened? Or how do you think this other person, in the story that you told me might have been feeling, what might you do about that? Or, starting to get into talking about feelings That's a skill that we can teach and learn and cultivate. And to different people, it might come more easily or with more difficulty. But that's certainly something that we can practice ourselves as parents in terms of modeling and coaching, and then building that skill in our children. And again, it can start from the youngest ages in terms of, you know, if we're speaking with our toddlers, we can help them to put some words to how they're feeling. And it might start with simple words like happy and sad and mad, but those are the building blocks. And it's so empowering as a young child to start having some language and some ways to express. And so by building that toolkit of how do I express myself, that's very powerful. And that helps children connect with others. And it helps them feel heard and validated and effective in their relationships and in their lives. So, you know, there's an opportunity every day to build those skills at communicating about feelings and being in touch with feelings and recognizing them in ourselves.
I heard you mention it briefly, but I would love to hear you expand a little bit about how a parent could help a child connect the child's physical experiences with their feelings. So, for example, if a child says that their stomach hurts every time they need to go to school, how could a parent help their child work through that and help them connect that maybe your stomach hurts because you're feeling a little bit anxious?
It's a very common situation to find ourselves in as parents. When our child might come to us and say something like, you know, my tummy hurts or my head hurts. And boy, that can mean so many different things. And we can worry about all sorts of different things. But if after, you know, we've done our diligence and made sure that, you know, there isn't some medical problem going on that needs to be addressed, you know, if it becomes clear that the way my child is communicating distress or worry or fear or upset or whatever it is physically, that's a really common way to communicate, especially as a child. And it's real. They're really having a tummy ache or they're really having a headache. And so first, listening and validating your child's experience is very important. And so that, because that's the way you're going to connect and help move through that and understand more and help your child to realize that, you know, hey, you're feeling something in your body that is telling you something about how you're feeling. And it's all connected. And so let's be curious and let's look at why you might be feeling this way, you know, and how do you think you're feeling? And how are you feeling? And so asking those questions is important and spending the time. And boy, it can be tough. But, you know, if it's not addressed and just kind of swept under the rug and, you know, suck it up, you'll be fine. Well, you know, we miss an opportunity to really understand more and, again, to build those skills at understanding what are the signals that our body is giving us. Sometimes it's physically. So it, you know, it's an opportunity for learning and there's power in understanding. And so, you know, if you can help your child to understand about why he or she might be feeling that way, then you can start to problem solve, you know, and maybe there's something particular going on at school or wherever it is that might be causing this worry or fear or whatever it is. And maybe there's something particular that we can fix. But the only way of knowing that is taking some time and listening and talking through it.
You mentioned modeling communication about feelings, pausing, reflecting, validating, helping a child work through their physical experiences and as they pertain to emotions. How else could a parent become a safe space for their child regarding mental health?
In everyday interactions, you know, a parent can demonstrate sensitivity and show that they are going to be a safe space because of proven behavior. So you might, you know, hear about a story in the news, or you know, have an opportunity to tell your child about something else. Maybe it's unrelated to your child, but the way that you talk about other people or stories in the news or whatever it is, you know, sets the tone and sets the stage for, you know, how might my parent talk about my struggles, you know? And so you're a proven entity, and children are observing everything and trying to make sense of it with what information they have. And when they're really little, you know, they might not have too much information or frame of reference, but they're observing everything and picking it all up. And so we always have an opportunity to kind of show who we are every day. And then, you know, we're proven. We, you know, our children can know what to expect, as it were. We're going to make mistakes too, as parents. And so it's also important, to be clear about, you know, if we made a mistake, and to explain, you know, that happened, you know, as appropriate, you know, with different stages of development for children. But I think being honest and open with the children, you know, builds that safety and that predictability that is crucial for feeling safe.
What are ways that parents or guardians can model a good relationship with their mental health personally for their children?
It's very important that parents show and teach children through their own behaviors. Absolutely. And it can look different ways for different parents. But first of all, it's important that we're aware that our behavior is being seen by our children and is going to be emulated, is going to be copied. And so being aware of that is the first step, you know, because then that can help us, you know, in sending the sorts of messages that we intend to send. And we can even explain and be clear with our children and say, hey, you know that daddy always goes once a week and does this hobby. And that's, you know, that's very good chance for him to connect with friends and be physically active. And that helps him stay healthy, you know, all around. Little kids, you know, might have a hard time understanding. They might, you know, notice only that, you know, mom or dad is gone for a time or seems busy, you know, doing something else, you know. And so we can explain, you know, that this is an important part of staying healthy. And it's, you know, it's exercise for our mental health, it's exercise for physical health. You know, in many cases, they're one and the same. and that, oh, and then maybe we can include you, you know, to the degree that the child is able, and we can do something together as a family. Oh, and this is a practice that's good for all of our mental health, you know, and we can include our child in that. Oh, you know, what do you think would be good activities for us to do as a family that's good for our mental health? And then you've got the added power of not only is that activity good for an individual's mental health, but it's good for the family together and the family connection, which just continues to pay even more dividends.
Could you expand on some simple mindfulness activities that parents can do with their kids or that the whole family can do together?
There are some great ways that parents can connect with their children, teach children skills that are going to be useful for their emotional health forever, and build those skills around what we might call mindfulness, you know, in terms of, you know, many people have heard of this concept of being truly present in the here and now and aware of what's going on right where they are, what their sensations are, what that sensory input is, all their different senses. And that kind of idea of mindfulness is something that can appeal to the youngest children and it can really have great power. And taking a breather from the busyness of life and taking a moment to try to step away from worrying about what might have happened before and worrying what might be about to happen in the future and just being present in the here and now. And so a lot of people like different breathing games or deep breathing practices. I've seen Elmo having some fun on YouTube with teaching different breathing practices. And so, you know, people are into this and know about it and can have fun with it. And it's a way to connect with kids and get them interested and feel the results quickly. And if the parent can demonstrate it too and is also taking the time to slow down and be mindful, that really speaks to why, you know, a child might want to do it too. Mindful activities are really helpful for finding some peace, some calm, and a basis for moving forward. You know, a grounding for, all right, how am I going to be prepared for what's coming next in the day, you know, and kind of having some preparation for that. So we're starting from a good place. And so we're more ready. Maybe we're more ready to learn in school or ready to go to an event. Maybe your child's a little nervous about heading off to a birthday party or a performance that they're getting ready for. And okay, how can we take a moment and set the stage for success and being ready to bring your best self to that experience? Another mindful game or activity that parents can do anywhere with their children is to be thinking about our senses and to go through all five senses and something we can do with them and we can count. So, you know, what are five things that I can see, you know, and going and talking that through with your child or, you know, getting your child to say, okay, well, now what are four things that you can hear, you know, and so on, you know, three things that, you know, you can touch or, you know, et cetera. And depending on how ready your child is to do that, you know, you might help them, but it's a good way of, again, being present in the here and now and having some tools that you can pull out anywhere. And it's best to practice them before we get overwhelmed and we have, before we get into a really tricky situation so that we have those skills ready for when we need them later when the going gets tough.
Where can parents find additional resources on things like mindfulness activities or mental health resources for their family?
Thankfully, there are a lot of good resources out there for parents who are looking for ideas. I'd say the most important thing is to find something that seems appealing and try it and see what sticks. And different people are going to like different activities. Certainly a good option for Kaiser Permanente members is some of the free mental health apps that we have available as members. The Calm app in particular, I've had a lot of success with my families that I take care of, and kids like to use it and parents like to use it. They like to maybe use some of the tools that are helpful for falling asleep and different things like that. But it's fun when parents and kids can connect together on some of those tools. There's also a good website called findyourwords.org that has some good tips about talking with kids, especially around anxiety or stress. That can be a tough topic to kind of figure out. How do you talk about it with your children? And there's some good tips on that website, findyourwords.org. And I also recommend that parents talk with the trusted, you know, professionals in their child's life, whether it's your child's pediatrician, who's going to have a lot of experience regarding kids' mental health, because they do it every single day. They pay so much attention to mental health and development of the children they take care of, as well as at your child's school, whether it's a teacher or the guidance counselor. Again, they do this day in and day out, and they see so many children. And so they're good at recognizing what's healthy and normal development, what might be some differences that need support and need to be addressed, and are going to have good tips for resources for parents. So those are other good folks to talk to in your community, as well as other parents too.
Our listeners can find links to the resources in the description for this episode. Thank you so much, Dr. Goodwin, for joining us today.
It's been my privilege. Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you all for listening. We hope you check back in with us for future episodes on wellness topics and specials covering specific areas of health. This has been Talking for the Health of It, and we'll talk to you next time.